Today is Thursday, March 21st, and this is the World Socialist website. The American Oligarchy in the 2024 Election by Patrick Martin. Figures published over the weekend by inequality.org, based on an analysis by the Institute for Policy Studies, of the running totals of billionaire wealth maintained by Forbes magazine, reveal the staggering concentration of wealth in the United States in the hands of a tiny oligarchy. The number of billionaires in the U.S. has risen from 614 to 737 over the past 4 years, coinciding with the 4 years of the COVID-19 pandemic. Their combined wealth has nearly doubled, up 88% over that period, from $2.9 trillion to over $5.5 trillion. Among the top 10 billionaires, 8 are based in the information technology industry, or its offshoots. This includes the top 4 wealthiest individuals in the United States: Jeff Bezos, with a wealth of $192.8 billion, Elon Musk, $188.5 billion, Mark Zuckerberg, $169 billion, and Larry Ellison, over $154 billion. The only exceptions are Warren Buffett, whose Berkshire Hathaway investment firm has holdings concentrated in such old industries such as railroads, and Michael Bloomberg, the media billionaire. The growth in wealth during a pandemic that killed more than 1.4 million people in the United States is staggering. Musk's fortune was up 600% in 4 years, while Zuckerberg of Facebook and Ellison of Oracle nearly trebled their wealth. The assets of Steve Ballmer of Microsoft and Larry Page and Sergey Brin of Google all more than doubled. Bezos of Amazon regained his status as the world's richest man. He would have doubled his fortune, but for a $40 billion divorce settlement with ex-wife Mackenzie Scott. These vast sums are difficult to grasp merely as numbers. In several tweets Tuesday, Joseph Kishore, presidential candidate of the Socialist Equality Party, translated these figures into human terms. The combined assets of $5.5 trillion is equivalent to 3 times the total U.S. student debt, 7 times what is spent on K-12 education in the United States, nearly 150 times what is estimated would be needed per year to end global hunger by the end of the decade, more than 178 million times the U.S. median income, and more than 700 million times the median savings account balance for families in the United States. The oligarchic character of American capitalism infects every institution of the state, the courts, and the media, and it dominates the entire 2024 presidential election. America's ruling elite are aware of the fragility of their position at the top, amid widespread social suffering and rising class struggle. Their response is to reinforce the political straitjacket of the capitalist two-party system in America. Accordingly, the billionaires sustain both the two capitalist parties, which are competing for their favor in the 2024 presidential election, which pits the fascist Donald Trump against the advocate of world war and genocide, Joe Biden. Trump's support among the billionaires is actually weaker than Biden's, in large part because he is regarded as unreliable on key questions of foreign policy, above all, the U.S.-NATO war against Russia over Ukraine. A substantial section of the oligarchy, however, is prepared to break with all pretense of legality. On April 6, billionaire hedge fund boss John Paulson will host a fundraiser for Trump in Florida, co-chaired with real estate investor Robert Bigelow, previously the biggest donor to the abortive presidential campaign of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, shale gas and oil billionaire Ronald Hamm, a previous opponent of a Trump re-election bid, has also agreed to co-chair, according to a report in the Financial Times. The newspaper reported, quote, "The invitation to the fundraiser shows 2 categories of donors: those who gave over $814,000 per person and considered Trump's dinner table, and those who gave at least $250,000. The financial oligarchs co-chairing the event come mainly from the world of financial speculation, those like Robert and Rebecca Mercer, Scott Bessent, Jeffrey Sprecher, and casinos and entertainment, Steve Wynn, Phil Ruffin, and Linda McMahon. An even more dubious and reactionary co-chair is Pepe Fagnuol, described as a sugar tycoon by the Financial Times. He is a member of a Cuban exile family who owns Domino Sugar, collects vast federal subsidies every year, and notoriously employed the wife of white supremacist David Duke as his executive assistant for many years. The Wall Street backing for the presidential ticket of Biden and Kamala Harris is broader, reflecting the transformation of the Democratic Party over the past three decades into the principal party of the stock exchange and major banks. The Biden campaign has amassed $155 million in cash, which it is hailing as the, quote, highest total of any Democratic candidate in history, unquote, at this point in the election. This included a record $53 million raised in February. While the corporate media describes Biden going out on the campaign trail, the reality is quite different. Biden's face-to-face contact is almost entirely with big campaign donors, and his real focus during the spring and summer will be to amass the financial resources required to mount a massive media barrage in the months leading up to the November 5th vote. In many cases, particularly trips to non-competitive states like California, the Democrats dispense with any pretense of public campaigning and simply address their real constituency in the financial oligarchy. Last week, even in tightly contested Michigan, Biden did not appear in public because of fears of counter-demonstrators protesting the U.S.-backed genocide in Gaza. Headed into the fall campaign, there are two main components of the Democratic Party strategy: piling up financial resources and suppressing efforts to place third-party candidates on the ballot, particularly left-wing opponents like the Socialist Equality Party, which has launched its initial ballot drive in Michigan, one of the most critical battleground states. The Democrats are preparing an all-out war on third-party candidates. According to an article published in the New York Times yesterday, the Democrats are hiring a, quote, army of lawyers, which aims to challenge the steadily advancing ballot access efforts of independent candidates, unquote. The Times cites one of the lawyers as stating that the aim, quote, is to ensure all the candidates are playing by the rules and to seek to hold them accountable when they are not, unquote. For the Democrats, no less than the Republicans, the rules are those set out by the corporate financial oligarchy to block any challenge to their wealth and power. Responding to the figures published by Inequality.org, SEP candidate Kishore stated in a video posted on Twitter, quote, socialism cannot be achieved by piecemeal reforms, by tinkering around the edges. It requires a frontal assault on the wealth and power of the capitalist class in the United States and throughout the world. It requires the expropriation of the ill-gotten gains of the billionaires and the transformation of the gigantic corporations into publicly owned utilities run on the basis of social need, not private profit. Israel allegedly carried out mass summary executions at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital by Andre Damon. The Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, engaged in summary mass executions of civilians during a raid on Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza this week, said the Euromed Human Rights Monitor on Wednesday. The raid has killed at least 100 people, quote, many of whom were victims of extrajudicial executions after their arrest, quote, the human rights group said. Dozens more were detained, beaten, and tortured. Based on interviews with survivors who were detained and tortured at the hospital, Euromed said that Israeli forces had been carrying executions for 3 days in a row. One detainee, identified as MK, told Euromed, quote, the soldiers detained me and handcuffed me in the hospital courtyard. I was left undressed for more than 9 hours, unquote. He reported that soldiers repeatedly took prisoners into the morgue, then gunshots were heard, and the soldiers returned without the prisoners. He said, quote, about four times during that period, I saw soldiers lead groups of detainees, always at least three people and never more than 10, into the hospital buildings, particularly the morgue building, where bodies had previously been kept. Gunshots were heard, with the soldiers then leaving the area to bring another group there. Another witness, who asked to remain completely anonymous, said, according to Euromed, that he, quote, witnessed Israeli forces taking 8 or 10 Palestinian civilians at a time towards the morgue area. He then heard heavy gunfire, and the Israeli forces later left without the civilians, unquote. Commenting on the victim's account, Euromed said, quote, these civilians were likely subjected to unlawful killings and executions. The Israeli military claimed to have eliminated 90, quote-unquote, terrorists during the raid on Al-Shifa Hospital, the Gaza Strip's largest medical facility. The IDF said in a statement, quote, over the past day, the troops have eliminated terrorists and located weapons in the hospital area, unquote. Among those detained, tortured, and stripped naked were medical personnel at the hospital. Emergency surgeon Mads Gilbert, who previously worked at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, said colleagues described torture by Israeli forces. Gilbert said, quote, medical staff have been arrested and left for hours in the cold. Some were forced to leave the hospital and taken to unknown places. Others were displaced to the south half naked, unquote. He concluded, quote, one doctor was shot in the chest when he followed the orders to leave the hospital and later went into surgery at Al-Hahi Arab Hospital, unquote. He added that the Israeli military does not differentiate, quote, between fighters and medical staff, patients, and refugees, unquote. As a result of the raid, Al-Shifa Hospital was again taken out of commission, further threatening the lives of the population of northern Gaza, where epidemic disease is running rampant amid the absence of food and drinking water, which is being blocked by Israel. Journalists were also tortured at the hospital. CNN reported that IDF forces detained, blindfolded, and stripped journalists from Al Jazeera and left them in the hospital yard in the cold. Al Jazeera Arabic correspondent Ismail Al-Ghul and his team were arrested for 12 hours and severely beaten by Israeli forces. Al Jazeera journalist Hani Mahmoud, reporting from Rafah, said Al-Ghul was, quote, tortured, beaten, and detained by the Israeli military along with his crew member on the ground. Since October 7th, there have been 410 attacks on healthcare facilities in Gaza, according to the World Health Organization. The WHO said in a statement on Twitter, quote, attacks have resulted in 685 fatalities, 902 injuries, damage to 99 facilities, and affected 104 ambulances, unquote. Meanwhile, famine continues to spread throughout the Gaza Strip. A report by the World Bank, published Wednesday, found that 1.1 million people in Gaza are at the highest risk of famine, classified as a catastrophe, while another 854,000 are facing an emergency. The situation in the Gaza Strip has reached catastrophic levels, according to the World Bank's report. None of the population of Gaza falls into the lower two categories of food insecure. The report concluded, quote, household surveys reveal alarming trends, with virtually all households skipping meals daily and a significant portion of children under two suffering from acute malnutrition, unquote. In a statement Wednesday, Philippe Lazzarini, Commissioner General of UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, said, quote, siege, hunger, and diseases will soon become the main killer in Gaza, unquote. Between March 19th and March 20th, 104 Palestinians were killed in Gaza, bringing the official death toll to 31,923. Once the missing are added, the effective death toll since October exceeds 40,000. A critical element of Israel's deliberate mass starvation of the population of Gaza has been the deliberate targeting of aid workers. Gaza's government media office said Wednesday that over 100 aid workers had been killed over the past week in 8 separate attacks. The aim of these attacks was, according to Gaza's government media office, to, quote, perpetuate the policy of starvation and deepen famine on a broader scale, unquote. Meanwhile, the Israeli government continues to openly advocate for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. In a statement to the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Israeli Parliament, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speculated that the port being constructed by the United States in Gaza, nominally to provide food aid, could be used to deport Palestinians. According to a report by a journalist for the Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation, Netanyahu said, quote, "There is no obstacle for the Gazans to leave. Maybe even the port they are building could be used for this. But there are no countries in the world that are ready to receive them," unquote. Despite verbal criticism of Netanyahu by President Joe Biden, the United States continues to insist that there are no red lines for the type of war crimes that Israel is allowed to commit, and continues to provide funding and weapons for the ongoing genocide as part of its broader military offensive throughout the region targeting Iran. Filmmaker Jonathan Glazer receives support against Zionist smear campaign by David Walsh. As the WSWS has reported, British writer-director Jonathan Glazer has come under vitriolic attacks by pro-Israeli elements for his comments at the Academy Awards on March 10th upon receiving the prize for Best International Feature Film. The historical drama, The Zone of Interest, deals with the commandant of Auschwitz and his family. In his statement at the ceremony, Glazer spoke out against dehumanization, past and present. He rejected the effort to hijack his Jewishness, quote, by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people, whether the victims of October 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all the victims of this dehumanization, how do we resist, unquote. The comments, which drew considerable applause, including prominently from figures such as actor Mark Ruffalo, outraged pro-Zionists in the United States because it lifted the lid, in the first place, on the reality that increasing numbers of Jews reject identification with the Israeli state and its genocidal policies. In fact, a growing percentage of Jewish youth want nothing to do with the Zionist criminality as part of a global process of radicalization. Moreover, the statement broke the wall of silence that has been assiduously policed by the Hollywood establishment intended to prevent criticism of Israel. For speaking out, actors Susan Sarandon, John Cusack, Melissa Barrera, and others have been on the receiving end of McCarthyite treatment. We have documented the ignorant, reactionary flood of abuse to which Glazer has been subjected since March 10th. As the support for Glazer's comments at the Academy Awards itself demonstrates, this filth is a minority opinion. Even in the entertainment industry, where defense of the Gazan population against homicidal bombings, massacres, starvation, and disease can mean the end of one's career, voices have been raised in Glazer's defense. Jesse Peretz, director of First Love, Last Rites, Our Idiot Brother, and Girls, and a signatory of Artists for Ceasefire, expressed support for Glazer in comments to Variety, as did filmmaker Asif Kapadia, director of Amy, the Amy Winehouse documentary, which won an Academy Award in 2015, who explained, quote, "He used his power and position in the biggest global stage to speak up for people with no power, no voice, or those too afraid to speak up, in an industry which is very conservative and risk-averse, and which has a long history of blacklisting people. He stood up and told the truth. That is what true artists do," unquote. Actress Zoe Kazan also expressed support for Glazer, observing on social media she was, quote, "shocked that anyone who saw Zone of Interest could be shocked by what Glazer said at the Oscars, a movie so rigorously intent on not allowing its audience to escape into sentiment or self-congratulation that turns a mirror instead, asking us to look at ourselves and think," unquote. Also on Twitter, musician-filmmaker Boots Riley posted, quote, "Salute to Jonathan Glazer, not just for speaking out against the atrocities in Gaza and saying that his movie is about the present day, but I finally saw Zone of Interest last night," unquote. The band Massive Attack tweeted that, quote, Jonathan Glazer is a filmmaker of the highest integrity, craft, and bravery, a filmmaker who researches his subject matter painstakingly and weighs his artistic judgments with high care and deep humanity. That care, judgment, and humanity led to the conclusions of his speech, solidarity, unquote. Deadline reports that industry professionals who have posted support for Glazer's comment speech include, quote, Blacklist founder Franklin Leonard and Red Sea Film Festival programmer Kaleem Aftab. Since the publication of the letter condemning Glazer's speech, there have been a slew of supportive messages for Glazer on social media, including from prominent film critics, including Guy Lodge and Dave Ehrlich, indie filmmakers such as Mark Cousins, and nonprofit organizations, including Jewish Voice for Peace. These messages have in turn drawn praise and criticism, unquote. In response to Variety's headline, more than 450 Jewish creatives, executives, and Hollywood professionals have signed an open letter denouncing Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest. Film critic Ehrlich tweeted, quote, Shout out to the 900,000 Jewish creatives, executives, and Hollywood professionals who haven't, unquote. Dr. Peter M. A. Sawinski, Auschwitz Memorial Director, released a statement on Twitter, quote, In his Oscar acceptance speech, Jonathan Glazer issued a universal moral warning against dehumanization. His aim was not to descend to the level of political discourse. Critics who expected a clear political stance or a film solely about genocide did not grasp the depth of his message. The Zone of Interest is not a film about the Shoah. It is primarily a profound warning about humanity and its nature, unquote. Melissa Barrera, as noted above, one of the first victims of the witch hunt against opponents of Israeli genocide, posted this comment on Instagram. Quote, What Glazer actually said is much clearer. He and his collaborators reject that Jewishness and the Holocaust are being used to justify the ongoing military offensive in Gaza. This sentiment is one held by many Jewish people. Like Glazer, Jews around the world have spoken out about how they perceive their identity to have been co-opted by the extremist Israeli government and its allies in pursuit of a fully repressed Palestine state, unquote. Breaking the silence, the Israeli Organization of Veterans who, quote, have taken it upon themselves to expose the public to the reality of everyday life in the occupied territories, unquote, defended Glazer's comment. The group asserted that the heated discussion surrounding his Academy Awards comments, quote, is mostly missing the point. His main message was simple and yet vital. Empathy is not a zero-sum game. The group added, quote, Glazer did not deny his Jewishness, as some seemingly purposely misunderstood. He took an unequivocal stance against the cynical utilization of Judaism and the Holocaust in the name of justifying the occupation, unquote. In response to the reactionary open letter of Jewish Hollywood professionals, which defends the genocide in Gaza, absurdly claiming, in the face of incontrovertible evidence that, quote, Israel is not targeting civilians, unquote, an independent filmmaker started a petition on change.org. In his motivation for the petition, the anonymous filmmaker writes, quote, As a Jew who is absolutely appalled by the reaction in my industry, by my peers, against Jonathan Glazer in his speech at the Oscars, I wanted to start a petition of support for myself, others in the industry, as well as others who support what he said and stand with Palestine against the atrocities that Israel is doing to innocent civilians. We stand with Glazer. Speak the truth. Speak your truth, unquote. The petition has collected more than 1,500 signatures, over 1,300 on Wednesday alone. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.